This is the MLW Radio Network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. We're back. I'm your host, Strigger. As always, I'm joined by Dylan. It's Dylan's zone right now.
That's right. It's the sky blue, hot, blooded young man zone. 2:30 in the morning. Just passed it. We're actually closer to 2:40 now, Striga. So very good. It's just morning for you.
Yeah.
You just woke up, you made you some coffee.
Exactly.
You know, it's really been storming here the last couple of days, and this is the first time this has happened to me since I moved to this apartment. And if you listen to our shows in around October, December especially, when they started to tear up my apartment and cut it in half, you'll know that I just moved here around then. But we had a huge alarm because I'm right down the street from, and not even, it's like right across the street really, from a college that we have here. It's called Austin Peay State University. And they have a huge alarm system. And I just hear suddenly, I'm sitting in my room, literally, I'm playing like Metal Gear Solid, just playing video games in my room. And suddenly I hear this loud voice come outside, but it's very muffled. I can't understand it. I was thinking, who the hell is this? So I rush out and I ask Ken, because he was in the living room, and Nanny was making some dinner or something. I don't even remember. But I was like, who the hell is that? And he was like, don't worry, it's about the weather. Like, they're just telling you don't go outside.
Oh.
And I was like, they spend the manpower and the electricity to let a huge message come out that says don't come outside? Like, we're in Tornado Alley. Everybody knows what. Everybody knows the deal, you know, pretty much. Like, storms are coming. Don't run around outside like a jackass. I like to think. But I just noted that's been going on. And is this a normal reaction, Striga? When it rains or storms a lot, everybody always tells me they like the rain and stuff. But for me, and I like it too while it's happening, but afterwards, it messes with my head and my body. It makes me feel bad. I don't know if that's allergies or my sinuses or what, but I had a huge headache after it stopped raining, and I had to sleep today, which actually worked out well because it made it a lot easier to stay up till 3 a.m. because I took a nap today. So you can thank the rain for that.
Look, I don't know about people's behavior during those kind of weather situations, but I know that a couple of weeks ago we had a giant storm here as well, like couple of street blocks from my place, actually, it turned over cars. That's how heavy it was.
Yeah.
But here in my area, there was basically nothing that happened. It was just a giant storm. But people tend to be idiots in these situations because I was watching outside of my window when the storm started, and it was the windiest I'd ever seen it here. And there was some guys going to their cars and driving. Like, I don't know. Why?
Yeah. Why?
But they only started driving when they realized, oh, it's a giant storm. I need to get in my car. What the fuck?
I mean, perfect timing.
Yeah.
You know, one time when I was a kid, we were out driving because my parents are dumbasses. But somehow or another, we were driving, and a huge lightning strike hit right in front of the car while we were on the road. Like everything was enveloped in a white flash for like a half second, and I was like, oh shit, like when that happened. But then we casually, and I was freaking out at this point, because when I was a kid, my great-grandma is very, very, very scared of any kind of storms, like even small ones.
Yeah.
So it kind of rubbed off on me, and I got freaked out at storms. But we just casually went to Dairy Queen, and went home in the middle of this horrible, like the clouds were so low during this, like funnel clouds and all of that. And it's like, we're just out driving around. Like, this is very, very not smart. Even then, even as like an 8 or 9 year old, I thought this was very irresponsible and not smart to be driving during these storms. But apparently, sometimes grown men and women can't figure that out either.
You know, so I was ahead of my grandma was kind of the same. She always was afraid of thunderstorms. I think from her child days, but she never really learned a lesson from it. Like she died at 86, you know, and she like. In her days, she experienced hundreds and hundreds of storms, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you at some point? I don't know. Maybe it's so inside their heads that they just that logic doesn't strike there.
I know that's the same thing with her. Like every time, nothing happens. But like also every time, she has this horrible weather band that she plays nonstop when storms happen. You know, she just goes crazy over them. But you're right. Like she's been through it 100 times. But like you said, I think she was in one in her childhood.
Yeah,
and stuck with her, despite all of the hundreds of thousands of storms and evidence that shows that nothing will probably be happening. She still sticks with her. So I think that's maybe a universal thing. Maybe it's just something for people that were born in like the 1930s.
It
was a different time back then.
Exactly, different time. And you already mentioned a great transition for me, Dylan, because we're not here to talk about the weather. We're talk about pro wrestling, and you already quoted one of the greatest lines in pro wrestling, Roosh's nothing happens.
Yes, if that's what you call great, yes, I would say that.
Nothing happens, but, Dylan.
Things did
happen, yes. So what happened is I sat down on Friday because I had Thursday and Friday off, and I watched Noah. I hadn't watched Noah since April, so I watched the May 28 show and the Misawa Memorial show from Currican Hall. And in the end, I texted you, Dylan, we need to talk about this. And we're going to talk about Noah in the end because... on our last show, we kind of made fun of the N1 climax thing. And to be fair, in comparison to the G1 climax, it pales and sounds stupid. But we're going to talk about it in the end here. First of all, Dylan, I want to start with two other promotions that I wanted to get in here. The first one is 01, and they all also have their summer tournament going. The 19th Midsummer Festival, the Fire Festival, started on June 16 and is going all the way through July 28. And they started their festival last weekend in Gifu on the 16th when they had 3 matches. Chris Weiss beat Sugi, Yasu Kubota beat Takuya Sugawara, and Kohei Sato beat Toa Iwasaki. So a smooth start for the Fire Festival. And for those asking, yes, this year we will be seeing 2 of their shows again on Samurai TV. The 720 Osaka show will be on Samurai, and the 728 show will also be live on there. No, not live, but... wait a sec. I guess the show is live. I'm gonna check that right now. I think the Fire Festival final is live on Samurai TV. But yeah, 01, in the summer, they always... have a fun lineup for their Fire Festival. They have 14 participants. And yes, the Fire Festival final will be live on Samurai TV. Going through the list of participants they have, I mentioned some already that had their first matches on June 16. Kohei Sato, Sugi, Toa Iwasaki, Masato Tanaka, Takuya Sugawara, Yuji Hino, Yuko Miyamoto, Yasuo Kubota, Chris Weiss, Shogun Okamoto, Yuya Aoki, Super Tiger, Asuka, and Masashi Takeda. Dylan, what do you think about the lineup?
I think that sounds like a great lineup. You know, for a lot of the 0-1 guys you have here and some of the outsiders they brought in, I'm a huge fan of Sugi, personally. I followed his career. I was a fan of his from the beginning. He was one of the first people I gravitated towards, rather. I don't know about graduated. I don't know what that means. But I gravitated towards him when he was just in the middle of his run as a million different gimmicks.
Yeah.
the first time I ever saw him was as Yoshitsune.
Yeah.
And I loved that look and everything, but he seems to have finally settled after all those years onto the Sugi gimmick and has really been at it these last couple of years at 01. Every time I tune in, I really love him. Asuka, I think, is a great talent in the Joshi scene and representing well there. You have guys like Kohei Sato that I think will bring a lot to the table. And really just a great mix of hard-hitting guys, young indie talent, and even a high flyer like Sugi in there. So I really like a lot of what they have going on here.
Yeah, exactly. So I really am interested to see some of the matches that Asuka is able to produce in this tournament. And as I mentioned, two shows will be on Samurai TV. The show, we're recording this on Saturday. The show from Saturday today in Shinkiba has Asuka versus Yuji Hino. And what Zero One did last year, for some occasions, they uploaded single matches from their Shinkiba shows. So fingers crossed that this show makes its way to YouTube, because I really want to see that match. And on the Osaka show for the Fire Festival, they also have some interesting matches. That's the one that's making tape 2. There is Asuka versus Yuya Aoki, Yuko Miyamoto versus Towa Iwasaki, Koei Sato versus Masashi Takeda, and Yuji Hino versus Masato Tanaka. That's going to be interesting too. I'm really interested to see how Yuya Aoki fares with all these Zero One guys, with the hard-hitting guys. He's obviously been in the ring with some of them, but not a lot of them, and especially not with the outsiders coming in. This is really his first situation where he's outside of Big Japan, wrestling in a tournament, wrestling a tour. So that's going to be very cool for him to get this experience.
Yeah, and I think he's got a lot going for him. I've really been into him ever since he really debuted in Big Japan and thought he had a really bright future. And this is really the first time he's going to have an extended look against such a variety of talents here. Outside of the Big Japan ranks, he's somebody that I think could really break out here. I've seen a lot of flashes of talent in tag matches as well as his singles performances, and I really think he's going to impress some people in this tournament when you see the shows that air, and if they show any of his matches from Shinkiba, I think he's going to be somebody that stands out on this tournament.
Yeah, I really hope so. Who do you think is winning the tournament?
Well, to me, I really was going to make this point, but I think Yuji Hino has to be, to me. I think he's a great get for Zero One. I think he's going to be somebody that's around a lot more for them in the near future, at least. And I think that's a great person to really, you know, have in and put your promotional push behind. I think he's somebody that if he were to win the main title, he'd be a great choice. I've always thought the world of him ever since he was in K-Dojo. He's wrestled in All Japan and NOAH. He's got a lot of great experience, and I think he's a hard-hitting wrestler that everybody would like. I think he was like a top 5 pick or something for you in our draft.
Yeah, did last year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, that's a no-brainer that Yuji Hino is winning the tournament. Last year, Yuko Miyamoto won the tournament. He returned the Fire Festival sword that the winner is always getting before the tournament, and I believe Yuji Hino is winning the sword this year. Quickly going to go through the blocks here to see who is facing in the finals, so we're going to make our pick here. Block A is Masato Tanaka, Yuji Hino, Sugi, Chris Weiss, Asuka, Super Taiga, and Yuya Aoki. Block B is Yuko Miyamoto, Koei Sato, Takuya Sugawara, Towa Iwasaki, Yasuo Kubota, Masashi Takeda, and Shogun Okamoto. So from Block B, who are you picking?
Well, I think Sato is the one with the biggest connection to Zero One, but I think that's a match they would want to save for later on.
Yeah.
In a main event. So to me, I think the two people to look out for would be either Miyamoto repeating and letting Hino go out, or, you know, not repeating the win, but going to the finals, so Hino beat him, or Okamoto, who would be a nice young talent that who's not that young, but still a project of theirs for a few years. And somebody that could be a good push for him to make the finals, even just to lose to Hino. It would be a good next step for him.
You know, they've been pushing their young guy, Towa Iwasaki, recently pretty hard. He's their United National Heavyweight Champion, the mid-card title that Zero One has. So for me, I can think of him as a dark horse in this block. But I can also... Yeah. I can also see Takuya Sugawara being in there in the end. because they also got behind him this year. But Miyamoto seems the most likely, and to be honest, Yuji Hino versus Yuko Miyamoto sounds like a great match.
Yeah, that would be a very good final match for 0-1 here, and I like this tournament. Like I said, they have a lot of different people there. I'd love to see more of that. I think they've got a lot of talent, but it's just making air. That's really their problem right now. If they can get on TV a little bit more, I think it would help everybody involved.
Yeah. So this tournament has a little bit of a different system than the other tournaments we talk about in Japan. Usually it's 2 points for a victory, 1 for a draw, and of course 0 points for a loss. But in 0-1, they do things a little bit differently. You get 5 points for a pinfall or submission victory. You get 4 points for TKO, a DQ win, or a countout win. And I have no idea why TKO is in the 4-point range while submission and pinfall are in 5-point range. But
yeah, TKO should be 5. That's like the best one. That should be like a 10-point win.
Yeah, that's weird to me. You get 3 points for a draw of any kind and 0 points for a loss. Yeah, so in the end, it turns out to be like the winner of the block has like 25 points or something else in the end, or even more. So everyone likes to do their weird wrestling math.
It's kind of like how in American football, you get 6 points for a touchdown instead of just one.
Yeah, I never understood that.
Well, see, that's because you don't understand that more points is better.
Yeah.
That's what people want to see. Soccer, you only get, European football, you only get 1 point for a goal. That's why so many matches end 1-0. Like, you want to have 27 to 3 and stuff like that. Not, 3-0 in European football, association football, it's a blowout.
Hey, the German national women's team recently won 4-0. The American women's team won 13-0.
Dominant win.
Yeah, the German U21 won 6-1 against Serbia recently. So there's much more than 1-0 victories.
That is true. That was like a football score almost, that U.S. and Thailand.
Yeah.
World Cup won there. I was actually, me and Ken were actually watching that the other day. Ken, secret story about Grandpa Ken, he loves soccer. And Nashville is actually getting its own football team, like an association football team, next year. So we're probably going to – might go to a game at some point of the Nashville team. So shout-outs to Women's World Cup right now, which America is dominant in at this moment.
That's cool. Are you going to get an XFL team too?
Memphis had an XFL team.
Yeah, right? I know.
Yeah, the Maniacs. With the axe.
Of course.
Yeah, literally.
Get
literally
it true to the brand.
Yeah, exactly. The axe. Our jerseys were very bright mint green and red on there. So very, very cool.
Sounds
stuff
great.
For the Memphis Maniacs.
But to your point, it's actually true that more points look more impressive. So a 78-0 would be much more impressive.
Well, look at basketball. You could score hundreds of points.
Yeah, I know, but it's a different game.
That is true. So maybe 0-1, they're operating on a different playbook right now.
Yeah, let's change our gears here. Go to a different promotion. I wanted to get to talk about the All Japan Kurikan Hall Show from June 18. Dylan, overall, I noted down that this was a puzzling show with an emotional ending. Would you agree?
Yeah, like the ending was awesome, and the rest of the card, I think puzzling is a good way to describe it, I would say.
For some points of the show, I had no idea what I was watching. It felt so weird to me. Like, of course, we had the usual All Japan undercard. I don't know about these young guys, Dylan. Hokuto Omori, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Den Tamura. They always have fine matches, but they are a far cry from what New Japan has to offer with their young lions.
Yeah, you're right. Like Narita and Umino are like way ahead of these guys.
Yeah, I'd say. So I don't really know how well they progress. It's I to be honest, I don't see any progress right now with them. They always have the same matches.
Yeah, you know, and like they're kind of stuck in these same positions. I think they'd be better off wrestling some different people.
Mm.
Maruyama, like, it's cool and all, like, but I think that maybe if it was a singles match with one of these guys versus Maruyama, it would be better than throwing them all in. And none of these guys really, we saw in the main event how Okada looks right now, and they're a far cry away from that as well, never mind even New Japan.
Yeah.
I think these guys have a long way to go in terms of, I kind of like them as, like, solid in-ring performers, but there's not much more to them than that. Yeah, it feels like you said, they're not really progressing much further than where they are. But we'll see. We'll have to see where they go. I think they could use a little bit of tuning up, and that'll happen eventually. Will they take to it? I don't know. Like I said, but like you said, this was just an okay opener with Maruyama. I thought nothing too special.
But the usual stuff: Jun Akiyama, Osamu Nishimura, and Ultimo Dragon beat Takao Mori, Masanobu Fuchi, and Black Mensore. That's always the same match too.
Mm. I know, that's the thing. Like, I love Fuchi as much as everybody, but like I said, we've seen this
countless times. Yeah.
How about Ultimo preparing for his Dragon Gate return with these matches? Did he look ready to you?
Oh no, he didn't look ready at all. That's going to be tough too. I'm hyped for the match, but just more for the sake of it happening at all.
Well, to be fair, there are no Fuchis in that match, he's in Dragon
King. No. We're going to talk about that show eventually. We're going to do a preview on the Kobe Pro Wrestling Festival, but here, the show progressed with Naoya Nomura, Roji Sai, Kotaro Suzuki against Zeus, Dillon James, and Gianni Valletta. Okay, match two. Notable that Nomura got the victory, that Sai really, Sai made sure that Naoya Nomura would get the victory because he used the Akagawa Tekkyo knee strike, and then Nomura was able to land the maximum. So good for Nomura. Then we had a fun match. Suwama, Shuji Ishikawa, and Super Tiger beat Paro, Odinson, and Nobi Bryant. And I noted, Dylan, first of all, it's great to have Paro and Odinson back because they really refresh the tag division that always seems to be somewhat stale, especially when you have two tag team titles in a promotion that's not really that big. But also I noted that Nobi Bryant has been a good addition to the roster, and he really came out of nowhere and brought some cool, different wrestling to the All Japan roster that you rarely see from them. He, for example, he uses this fun X-kick that he has in his matches. A really fresh addition.
Yeah, I liked him when I first saw him. They built around only a few select spots in his match I saw in last month's show that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I had never really heard of this guy before.
No.
When I saw him, I thought, oh, God, like Nobi Bryant, like just like Kobe Bryant. Okay. You know, but, you know, I figured like this was not going to be anybody that I would like. But I actually did kind of get into him. I think he's got kind of a cool shtick to him. And I definitely think he's a totally different person on this roster than anybody else. So,
and that's what
I do
need
like
when you're All Japan right now.
Yeah, like I said, I think he's a great pick. You know, like you said, somebody really out of the woodwork and somebody that brings something different to these mid-card matches. So, yeah, I'm into him. I like him.
And he has been around for quite some time in wrestling, if I'm not mistaken. He's been wrestling since 2003.
Wow.
That's a long, long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think he got the gig through the tryout that they did on the West Coast a couple of months ago.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, that's where you can go when you just believe in yourself. So, cool gig for Nobi Bryant.
Yeah, he's a Texas guy, not even a California guy, so he must have drove himself out there to do it, man. Good job, Nobi.
Yeah, pretty much he did. He's a Texas guy, right.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, on the note of Nobi Bryant, the other guys in his team, also Americans, Odinson and Paro, they are back to challenge for the tag team title. They lost this match, but after the match they laid out the Valiant Giants. Do you think they could win the tag titles?
No. I mean, I want them to. I don't really like them. Okay. Honest with you. Like they're not anything special. Like, every time I see them, I want to like them more than I do. And I definitely don't want to see... To me, like, the problem with All Japan in a lot of ways is flip-flopping the titles, like, way too much,
yeah.
As we'll see later on. So I don't want to see Suwama and Ichikawa drop the titles, especially not to, like, them, but, like, really to anybody. I want them to have a strong run, dominate what they can, and put over somebody else. So now you'll have two good teams in the division instead of just one. That would be very nice to have, I think, because I'm not sure there are any really solid teams in this division right now outside of them. Even though they have some good talent, like I thought James and Doring, when they were in the tag league, I thought they were a good team. But, you know, right now I think they need some real solid built-up teams. And maybe they'll do that with the end. But like I said, I personally would rather see somebody else get that.
You know, they've grown on me on their last tour they had. So I'm happy for them that they get this opportunity.
Yeah.
Next up, we had another title Triple Crown prelude match. Yoshitatsu and Tajiri beat Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. And this is the one where I really scratched my head, to be honest.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, great finish.
Dude, Yoshitatsu beat Miyahara with his version of the Koji Clutch. It's called Yoshitatsu Fantasy. And my immediate reaction after the match was I laughed. Because Yoshitatsu beat Kento Miyahara, the Triple Crown champion, the dominant Triple Crown champion, the winner of the Champion Carnival. And Yoshitatsu beat him just like that.
Well, they needed a challenger. So.
Yeah, they clearly needed one, and it's clearly a stretch.
I think it would have been cool if the win, like, they had done something here. Like, first of all, this match ends with Miyahara killing Yoshitatsu and pinning him. Secondly, I would say, like, the winner of the main event would get a title shot at some point. Like, have them represent Aoki and do what he could never do and win the world title. I think that's a one-off story I can get behind. And I've been clamoring for a Sato heavyweight run anyway. But really, either one of them, like, the story would be the most important part. Aoki going, you know, Aoki's spiritual representative doing what he never could and going for Kento. Like, that's what I would have done. Because I don't know about Yoshitatsu. Mm. I know you always are on his side.
I am on his side, but there is a certain limit that I set myself.
Okay.
Can't see myself cheering for Yoshitatsu, Triple Crown champion.
No, his title shot against Doring was very unsuccessful, too, at the box office as well. But, you know, honestly, like, in the Champion Carnival, he did pretty all right in B-Block. He wasn't bad at all, actually, to be honest. But like you said, Triple Crown champion, I think that's, like, a one step too far, you know, with old Yoshi. He should be in it. Well, I mean, I guess he kind of is, like, with Kento, or was for a long time. But he's somebody that they should try and put in a tag team, I feel like. They had some great matches together, Kento and Yoshi. But, yeah, I don't know. The match could be good, but it's just so hard to really buy into him at all. And like you said, having Kento job out to him, it's kind of a bad look for the Champion Carnival winner. Like you said, they really put all their eggs in Kento's basket at this moment. You know, so it's kind of... It's not the best look for Yoshitatsu to just beat him. It was by a, you know... He didn't tap out, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Still, it was a rough stop.
I don't know about this. Another puzzling thing on this show was the All Asia Tag Team title. And that's to your point of flip-flopping the belts. I had no idea whatsoever why Kawakami and Kikuta had to give up the belt now that they had just won it in their first defense. Thought the match was all right. But I don't get it.
Other one.
Yeah.
Not their win, the title win for Kikuta and Kawakami. I thought that was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was just okay, like I would say.
Yeah, Kikuta tried to get the crowd behind the hometown guys, try to heal it up. But Kikuta has clear set limits for him too. He's not a guy that will have the crowd boo him very loudly. He's just not that interesting.
Yeah, like that's true. Kikuta, you know, like you said, he's a great three or four. I think on the cage match scale pretty much. But I really liked their first match together, like these two teams, like they had with the title win. Kikuta and Kawakami's a title win. I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't understand the titles, but you could say that about literally any title in the company. outside of maybe the Triple Crown for Kento. But really, everything else, I always, and even that one, as at times, they flipped it too early. And this one, they didn't even give Kikuta and Kawakami a chance. So to me, it's like, why even give them the title in the first place if you're just going to take it away from them and put it right back to a sweeper?
Yeah.
So, and what about Lee and Nomura teaming up again? Like, you know, like that was a storyline they've been running, Jake trying to team up with Nomura again. Wouldn't that have been a way better place for titles to change hands, Lee and Nomura, instead of Iwamoto and Lee?
Looks like they are keeping them apart and going for a thing where they try to build up new four pillars with the Next Dream guys, so they are keeping them apart.
But the storyline has been Lee's been begging Nomura. That, you know, he was saying, we were great before, we could be great again.
Yep.
Like, or we
but
could fight.
Seemingly Nomura wants to hear nothing of it and is teaming with Sai.
He just wants to fight.
Yeah.
But I mean, the four pillars, you had the Holy Demon Army. That's a perfect, like, there's no rule that says you can't team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I just think from a storyline perspective, that would have been a lot better than, and that would have also have given Kikuta and Kawakami this title defense, which would have been better than nothing, which is what they gave,
yeah.
Unfortunately. And I thought they had a good run, like, in that match as champions. The title win was a great match and a great win for them, and now they're just geeks, like always.
Like always. Like both.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Kawakami, man. Like he's the even in big Japan or All Japan, Kawakami always gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah, someone asked me who this Kawakami guy is.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good, and I said Big Japan is about to miss the boat with the guy. Because,
about to.
Yeah. About. Yeah.
Yeah. They did that 2 years ago. Where you been? Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I try to tell you. You think I'm negative, but I actually like Kawakami a lot. I wish he would win these titles and not job out and look like a geek sometimes, but they're determined to make him look like a geek. Big Japan and All Japan 2 now. Stop it. Stop jobbing my guy out. And team him with Kikuta. Team him with somebody else.
Whew. Yeah. At least the show ended on a high note.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God we had this main event.
Oh, man. I loved this match. I thought that this was a great tribute to Aoki. Because just in Atsushi Aoki matches, we had a lot of great grappling. High-quality grappling. And what I noted, too, especially from Okada. But Sato... Yes, Sato is a little bit of a different worker, but... We mentioned that on one of our last shows that Okada is very similar to Atsushi Aoki. And just like in Aoki matches, we had very little wasted movement. They just kept wrestling, kept grappling. Even when they did top rope stuff, when Okada did top rope stuff, very little wasted movement, just right on the point. And for that, it made a great main event.
Yeah, this was an awesome match. I think these two were phenomenal together. As I expected, because I'm a huge fan of both of these guys in ring, to be honest. I think Sato perpetually underrated because of the role he's given in All Japan. And Okada, to me, has everything it takes. Like, you talked about the four pillars. To me, he should be one of them. Like, I think he's somebody that has as much talent as any of those guys, and charisma and overall as an overall performer. And I thought this was a really strong main event. Like you said, and Okada showed he could grapple on Sato's level. And also, he had a little bit more flash as well. So, I really loved what they did together. And for it being the Aoki show, it's a great tribute. Like, they made a great decision to put this on last. Like, totally the right call. And definitely the best part of the show by a country mile, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I love my idea of the winner getting the touchdown over Yoshitatsu. Instead, but I thought this was a great match, though, something they could definitely hang their hats on going forward.
So check that out. There are some other cool matches from May and early June. On May 21, they had a 30-minute time limit draw. Hideyoshi Kamitani and Jake Lee versus Naoya Nomura and Taishi Takisawa from 2AW. We have it rated at 8.5 right now at Cage Match.
Wow.
And also, I want to point to the semi-main event of the June 2nd show. Daisuke Sekimoto and Jun Akiyama against Jiro Kuroshio and Masakatsu Funaki. Very cool match. Very unlikely match, too. Unique pairing there, so I really love the match. Some cool interactions here. And Akiyama and Sekimoto are being a great team again. Main event of that show was Suwama and Ishikawa against Dylan James and Joe Doering. That was good, too. So there's a lot of good stuff up on All Japan TV right now. And as for the future, June 30, we have the Curtain Hall show where Suwama and Ishikawa defend the title against Perry and Odinson. And in the main event, Kento Miyahara and Yoshitatsu for the Triple Crown. And otherwise, basically your usual stuff on the undercard.
Hey, yeah. We'll be talking about that again next month.
Yeah.
Same stuff we talked about earlier.
But Dylan, they're actually going to change up some stuff, specifically for outsiders coming in. Mm-hmm. Joel Redman is returning in July, which got a huge pop from me because he left a great impression in the Champion Carnival.
Yeah. Very well deserved for him to come back.
Yeah. So he's going to be, I think he's having his first match back on July 10, I believe, is his first match back. Then All Japan is going to do another Chiba Extra Dream show in conjunction with 2AW. And they again are having guys like Tank Nagai and Ayato Yoshida back on their show. Tank Nagai is facing Dan Tamura, so what you called for? Some different opponents here for the young boys.
Yeah, give Dan a shot against Tank Nagai.
Yes. And Ayato Yoshida teams with Yoshitatsu against Zeus and Takao Mori. And as I mentioned, get this guy into the promotion. Get a working relationship with 2AW where they exchange talent. 2AW needs it. And All Japan could really use some 2AW talent on their roster to have different matches there.
Yeah, like I said, the whole company really needs a fresh coat of paint right now. And bringing in these guys from 2AW, there's a lot of good young talent there that you could have some different matches with. And maybe one of these guys can catch on in All Japan, you know, and really be an integral part of the promotion going forward.
Yeah. But they also will add some talent from Dragon Gate for their Junior Tag Battle of Glory, of course. They have Kagetora and Yosuke Santa Maria in. But also for the July 23rd show, they announced that Genki Horiguchi and KZ will be coming in. Also, Kai will be there, plus Masakatsu Funaki, Zugi, Revlon from Land's End, and the Gamshara pro wrestlers Tesho and Treno Guerrero. So that's a cool fresh coat of paint, too.
Yeah, especially for the junior division, having guys all in. Hopefully things can go well in the Junior Tag Battle of Glory. I hope for the best for them, and hopefully these young guys, like I said, can get some experience wrestling a lot of different people.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it for All Japan. I want to turn our attention to NOAH. Okay. NOAH recently had their set of Misawa memorial shows because obviously Misawa died 10 years ago, and they had a full Korakuen Hall for their show on June 9. I think it was their best Kurikan Hall show in ages, like attendance-wise. And also, yeah. I thought it was a very good show. Especially because of two matches. Because of the Misawa Memorial match, Shiozaki versus Maro Fuji, and because of the main event, Kiyomiya versus Sugiura. And I can kind of spoil it here because we're going to talk about it eventually. Like, Kiyomiya and Sugiura, that could be in contention for my top 10 matches of the year.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like I said, even right now, I think it's like top 5. Somewhere like that. I thought that was a phenomenal match. And Kia Mia continues to like prove me right. I feel like because yes. I've been on I've been on this guy's bandwagon from the beginning. Tons of doubters at the start of the year, and people saying they didn't believe in him or weren't into him, and he didn't have what it takes, and he wasn't ready. But man, all I see right now are these great matches that he's having, and the last couple of months have had some really big houses. The one for the tag league. The tag league final, as well as this show here for Misawa, you can kind of give him an asterisk on those if you like, but still, really great Corcoran Hall numbers for him right now, and I think he's doing a great job as not just a wrestler, but as a representative for the company, as the champion and as the ace. And Sugera, he's always awesome. So like that, there's no even, you know, he could pretty much sleepwalk his way to a great match, and he just did a great job here, and Kiyomiya had so much to him here, I thought, in the main event. I thought this was a truly great match. Definitely one of the best of the year in Japan at this point.
Sugera is crazy. Like, he's 49 years old. His medical history is well known. He has had heart issues. And he's still able to perform and live up to his gimmick name, to the Killing Machine.
Oh, yeah.
This dude is just freaking awesome. I don't know what it is with him, but he's still able to go like he was 35.
And oh, yeah.
Especially with Kiyomiya. And Dylan, sometimes I'm glad when I'm proven wrong, and this is a case where I'm proven wrong, because I was one of the doubters. I didn't believe that Kiyomiya would have a great run. But here we are, and I saw a lot of people saying on Twitter that they wanted Sugiura to win, and I don't know why.
Oh, so Twitter.
You know, I really don't know why, because to me,
no.
This victory specifically solidified Kiyomiya as a top guy, as champion material, and especially on the Misawa Memorial Night, as their designed ace.
You know, it would have been perfect. On Misawa's Memorial Night, do what he was most known for at Noah, and don't for the young guys, and go back to the status quo and sink the company.
Yeah.
great idea, guys. Great tribute. And listen, I love Sugera too. Last year's title reign was awesome. Not only was it great, it totally stabilized the company after where they were at the year before with Nakajima, which was not a good look. But, you know, he going back to the title, what does that accomplish for him? You know, like, and not only does it accomplish nothing for him, really, it really doesn't establish Kiyomiya. You know, I don't know, man. That's not a good look. You know, like you said, on the night on Misawa's Memorial Show, arguably Noah's biggest show of the year, this was perfect. Like, this was the perfect chance for Kiyomiya to get put over. Sugera is a great talent. If anything, the problem is the people, like, there's nobody being built up around him, is the only issue you could say about Kiyomiya. It's not really him. Like, he's doing a great job. I don't know what more you people want from him. Like, I don't know. Everybody talks about his hair on top of it. What's wrong with his hair, Striga?
He's blonde.
There's nothing wrong with his hair.
No.
Keno's hair is way worse than Kiyomiya's. And nobody complains about that.
Yeah.
And look at that. He comes out, he looks like a champion, carries himself. Great jacket, great
entrance. Dylan, you know, sometimes I believe people are just reaching for criticism.
I know. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's doing a great job. The numbers in Noah are up the last 2 months,
yeah.
Man. Like, this is the best stuff they've done in 5 years. Like, what
yeah.
more do you want
there,
from
there,
330?
There's really no argument to make there that he's not the guy that they should be having on top.
And it's clear, like, that to me, he is definitely in a Kento Miyahara mold, but actually for their styles that they have worked, I actually think he's much better as an underdog babyface. Like, he has, like, when he's working from under, he's better. Like, Miyahara's got a lot of heel energy to him, and that a lot of times is when he's at his best. But as the guy carrying the company as, like, the true blue babyface star.
Yeah. Please don't turn him heel.
No, don't do that. Definitely don't do that. They kind of... Remember last year when they did the they were trying to do the old versus young guys, like the new generation army.
I'm glad that they backed off from that.
Well, and plus he was mixing in with like Kenno and stuff. And earlier this year, he even teamed up with Kenno a little bit. But they never really, he never lost the essence of who he was.
Yeah.
Or anything, you know, when he teamed with Kenno and led to the turn, led to Congo, which is a whole other story. Like, yeah, Kiyomiya never lost who he was. And I think he's just a great representative of the company, a true babyface champion that we really haven't seen a lot because everybody points to like, oh, he's their version of Kento. He's their version of Okada. But actually, those guys started off as more heelish guys, like I said. And whereas Kiyomiya is like a pure wrestler and like a pure babyface champion. So I think he's doing a great job. And like I said, I really do think he's an MVP candidate, very underrated by some people. And like you said, I think some people just don't want to admit when they're wrong more than anything. But I'm happy you came around on him eventually. And I had a good feeling about him from the start. And I'm really glad that you feel that.
You know, I was just not so sure with Noah, because as you said, the legacy of this company is we fuck with our potential aces for the future. That's what they always did. So yeah. I'm glad that they didn't do that with Kiyomiya now. And as for the match, you know, the selling in this match was absolutely amazing. And if you're used to watching New Japan main events, the Noah approach to singles matches is vastly different. You will not get as many reversal spots as you get in a New Japan main event with Okada, for example. What you will get is you will get two wrestlers that really work on point, that are taking their time to unleash their offense on the opponent, and you will also get very good and very consistent selling. And you will also get what they did here for the finish in this match, because the story here was that Sugiura, of course, he's the veteran. But on the other side, Kiyomiya is much younger, much more athletic than him. And he played his athleticism against Sugiura. And what I also liked about this one was that Kiyomiya was able to change up his offense here, for example, with the somersault that he does from the apron. Usually he does he goes over the top and does the somersault of the apron onto the opponent, but this time he did a dropkick, and Sugiura didn't expect that.
That's a great point. Not to interrupt you, but that really reminds me of, remember the match in March with Mara Fuji? That was a great thing that he does, that he's really done and kept up even through 6 months later after he won the title. In that Mara Fuji match, I thought Mara Fuji honestly wasn't that good, but every time he would start to draw, like pull me out of the match, Kiyomiya would bust out some kind of new move or new way of doing something that brought me right back into it. And he really carried that match to me. And here, like you said again, he was doing new things and stuff that we hadn't seen in previous matches of his, which is something that you never see with other aces and champions like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this old versus young storyline continued throughout the match, because in the end, Sugiura, this guy is just awesome. He sold this so well. And he was really out there to make Kiyomiya. Because Sugiura was just swarming onto Kiyomiya with his elbows. And Kiyomiya kept trying to dropkick him. And this dropkick, by the way, he doesn't have to hide behind Okada. This dropkick is great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like right to the face. Twice.
Yeah, it was like the dropkick they put in Devil May Cry 4 for Nero. It was like right to the face.
No, that's a reference.
It is. Like I said, hey, what a great game. But yeah. Great dropkick, too.
So, Sugiura, slowly but surely, he was on wobbly legs. And Kiyomiya kept hitting strikes on him. And in the end, Sugiura just couldn't stand anymore. But he didn't want to give up. He didn't want to. But he had to eventually. And that made for a great finish, I thought.
Oh, yeah. I loved that whole sequence you just laid out there. It really felt like this whole match was like a super heroic guy, like in any kind of story, chopping down a powerful demon or something like that and killing him at the end. Finally, it took a huge war. He had to suffer for it because Sugiura didn't make it easy. But by the end of it, he finally slayed him, slayed the dragon or whatever you want to say. And this match came across actually way better than the title win. And I think now we know that that stupid crowd in Yokohama had a lot to do with it compared to this Torquemada Hall crowd, because these guys wrestled their heart out and had a phenomenal performance. And the crowd was with them all the way, too.
Exactly, yeah. So great match. We have it at 9.29 cage match, and I believe that's appropriate.
Yeah, a phenomenal performance for both men.
A match that we have at 8.11, and I believe that rating is also appropriate, is Goshi Ozaki against Naomi Chimaru Fuji. Those two had a great performance. And I totally loved how after the match, Shiozaki bowed down to the image of Misawa they always have up there for his memorial shows. And they had a great camera angle of that. I posted a picture of that on Twitter. I saw lots of great strikes in this match, obviously with Shiozaki going for the lariat and Maro Fuji for his kicks. But also Maro Fuji working over Go's arm, and Goshi Ozaki sold that very well. At one point, he hit his Go flasher, but was not able to go for the pinfall because his arm was hurting.
His shoulder was hurt already, and he had the tape on the shoulder.
Exactly. Yes, but Shiozaki's fighting spirit that night was bigger than Maro Fuji's. That was the story of this match too, and in the end, he got the victory. So I thought this was a very good match too.
Yeah, I liked it too. Like I said, and also had a very, it was great, not just in how they wrestled it, but also the fact that Shiozaki finally beat Maro Fuji. It felt like, it didn't feel, like I said, if this had been a title match, I think it would have came across even bigger. But still, for longtime Noah fans, it was still kind of a cool moment to see Go finally beat Maro Fuji, because he had never done it in a singles match before, his entire career. So good stuff for Go to win. Like you said, his selling really stood out here, I thought. I loved everything they did with the arm work, and Maro Fuji did a great job. Also, again, we saw Kiyomiya be the great true babyface. Maro Fuji was kind of a heel here when he poured the drink on him there. He had these little arrogant, really, moments in the match, kind of like Kento would used to do, kicking him in the head a little bit. He came across like a heelish veteran here, working over a lower-ranked guy, but he wasn't lower-ranked, and Go came through here. They hit really hard, like you would expect with these two, and I thought it was a really solid match overall. So really good stuff there, and I liked the main event better, but still, I thought this was a big win for Go.
Yeah.
And it was nice, like you said, the bowing to Misawa afterwards was a great moment for everybody involved, and that's something you could put up and point to from the show. So, yeah, really like that match, too.
Exactly, yes. So, I like the show overall. And I believe I watched two Noah shows back-to-back. And the May show was 3 hours long, and this was, I think, 3:45. And both shows didn't feel that long. And that's because they had a real nice flow throughout the card. They started out with a 10-minute six-man tag. Then they had a short match in the Global Junior Tag League for 5 minutes. An eight-man tag match, 14 minutes. Another Global Junior League match with 14 minutes. And then a very short one, where Kotaro Suzuki and Yoshinori Ogawa beat Daisuke Harada and Tadasuke in just 3 minutes. And then the two long singles matches. So a real nice flow and a very good pace of action that this Noah card had. So, like, for the booking, they surely don't have the wrong guy.
No, they're doing great. I really like that eight-man tag, too, earlier in the show. I thought that was a good match as well. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, but I saw that. What do you make of this Congo unit?
Oh, as if, like, talent-wise, awesome. Booking-wise, terrible. Like I said, because they actually won on this show, which was nice. But besides that, and the show that's going to air probably by the time the show releases, they're losing so many matches. Their very first match they lost as a group. So I don't know why. I just don't get that at all. But as a talent-wise, this four-man group, love him. Like, Inamura, we saw him on Fortune Dream, huge potential. Kitamiya, great upper mid-card talent. Keno, great talent as well. Kota Gay, I love a lot. Great talent as well. So I really like all four of those guys, but they just they could get behind him more. That would be really great.
Yeah, you know, you said it perfectly. Those are all great guys, but their maximum potential they have reached now in Noah is upper mid-card. They tried with Keno, but they took the belt off him very quickly.
Yeah.
So this unit really lacks a main event guy.
Yeah, and like they make them look like geeks. that doesn't help either. You know, I feel like if they really got behind one of these guys, obviously not Inamura, he's like still super young, but if they got behind one of the other three, I think that they would totally deliver. And like I said, I kind of made mention to this earlier. To me, if you're going to point to a problem in Noah, it's that who is rising up with him, with Kiyomiya? They're not really building anyone for him outside of Sugera and Marufuji. And Go and maybe Nakajima with their tag team. But those guys are all super veterans and guys we've seen a million times. So I really wish they'd get behind one. And these are your guys that you should be going to. Like,
Four guys. Okay, you can say Inamura is still very young. Three guys. Pick one of them. Get behind him. Place him as Kiyomiya's rival. And go with it.
Exactly. Like, that's
should
the
be
one
Keno, to be honest.
Keno, yeah, like I said, he already had the title, though.
Up their rivalry throughout the tag league where they teamed and they broke up then, so you have it right there.
That's true, like I said. I think Kiyomiya would be a good pick, too. Or really all three, like I said, really any of them, like, to be honest with you. But Keno would be a great pick as well. Like you said, they built up the storyline. I think Keno is a very charismatic, great worker. But like I said, really, all three of these guys would be fine, but they don't build them appropriately. And now who is his rival, really? Because I don't think his generational rival, quote-unquote, can be Sugera. You know, that's just not right, you know, so to speak. So, and you're going to need at least, like I said, a year or two for Inamura to get up there. You know, you can't just keep rocketing people and just saying, well, these are our main eventers now. You have to at least build them up. Kiyomiya was a special case. But, yeah, I don't know. That's really the one problem I have with Noah right now is that these are the guys, really. And, like, these three would be my exact three picks if you were asking me. But they just don't get behind them. And that's really where my problem lies. Like, literally, the first thing that happened with this group when they came together was Sugera and Marufuji talking about how shitty their name was and, like, how... You know, how bad it was. And Keno was like, and his pro was like, it's not that bad. Like,
Congo is really not a good name for a unit.
No. And they're sure, I saw on Kodage's Twitter, he was advertising a new shirt they had. It looked pretty nice. It's a pretty nice, snazzy shirt they've got. But the name itself, yes. You know, I like that. You know, and I like I don't like that. I like their idea, though, of, like, they're breaking the mold and, like, they're going their own way. They're not company guys. Hmm. Like, that's cool, like, but not how they're doing it. Not the non-company rebels that lose all the time. We don't need that.
Yeah, and as to your point, Sugiura surely can't be Kiyomiya's generational rival because he could be his dad.
He's twice his age.
Yeah.
But really, he's his main event rival right now. Yeah, it's not any of these guys.
No,
in Congo.
But I want to point out Yoshiki Inamura, because he really impressed me on the set of Noah shows I watched. This guy, there is a minor detail that I noticed, but it is an important detail, I thought. You know, he's doing this avalanche slam as one of his trademark moves, and I noticed that he always makes sure to hit this avalanche slam, or avalanche hold, as they call it in Japan, to hit it right on the bull's eye in the middle of the ring, on the O of the Noah logo with the red filling. So I thought that is really great, and it's really impressive at this young age in his career to be able to think that far, to make this your trademark move, because it's a very generic move. It's a very generic power move, but the way he does it, it's closely linked to him.
Yeah, I really like him. I think he's somebody that's definitely... you mentioned the All-Japan young guys. To me, Inamura really stands out.
Oh.
I love his sumo and judo style that he has. He's got good size to him. He's actually bigger than pretty much than Kenno and Kotage in the group. He's like a true heavyweight.
Yeah, he's 5'11".
He's really big by Japanese standards. I really love what he brings to the table in the ring. Great power moveset, and he's really just scratching the surface as well. He's somebody that you definitely got to watch. If you've never heard of this Inamura, maybe if you're only a New Japan fan, you got to give him a look on some of these matches, because he's going to really catch your eye, I feel like, and be a really impressive guy that they can go forward with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to point out another guy from the opposing team of Kongo, Chris Ridgway. He is on his second NOAH tour, and he's also going to be in the single Global Junior League. I'm really happy for the guy, because I think he really fits well. And he had some great interactions with Kenno in this match. So give me more of that.
Yeah, Ridgway is awesome. I'm a big fan of his. Even before he came to Japan, he was a Brit Resi guy that really stood out to me, somebody that I had my eye on.
Mm.
And I'm really happy that he comes here to NOAH. He's a great addition to the junior division. And that's another thing NOAH does that I really like, is that they always take care of their juniors and give everybody – everybody has a lot of personality. And Ridgway's a great addition to that scene.
Yeah.
Like you said, I thought he did really good in this match as well. So can't wait to see him in the singles ranks as well.
Yeah, great story about him. The Brits told me that when they were over at 16 Karat. This year, Ridgway was in Ambition. But last year for Ambition, he flew himself over to be a fan and watch Ambition from the audience. So great development for him. Just being there, looking at it. Next year being in the tournament and then also getting the gig in Japan. Great year for him.
I know that this going to NOAH was a big deal for him personally, too. He seems like a guy who really loves wrestling. So I really have a lot of love for him. he loves wrestling a lot. And he's really grown in the ring. And I think he's somebody that totally, he's not just a big fan. He takes a lot from that
mm-hmm.
and puts it into his wrestling. So I really love what he's bringing to the table. Like what you said, I thought he had great interactions with all kinds of people, and Kumano got a great partner, when O'Hara left.
Yep.
They broke off the backbreakers. I thought that was a great spot for him, and Ridgway did as good a job as he could in the tag league, and now I can't wait to see what he does on his own.
Exactly. So I'm maybe taking a little detour right now, because the reason why I started thinking about the N1 Climax a little bit more was that I was watching Fortune Dream as well. I don't want to get into too many details for this show, because if you've seen the first 5 Fortune Dream shows, you've seen this one too. It is always a good show. And I want to point out that the matches on the show weren't random at all, because in the opening match, Masaki Tamiya and Yuya Aoki against Shoki Kitamura and Towa Iwasaki, they did set up some stuff for the Fire Festival eventually. Yuya Aoki and Towa Iwasaki are in. The second match, Meiko Satomura and Nanae Takahashi, was an interpromotional match where you really felt the interpromotional rivalry between the two. And even on the outside, with the wrestlers accompanying Takahashi and Satomura fighting on the outside.
Yep, you felt it with the finish too, a draw.
Yeah, a draw.
I actually thought that match was pretty disappointing.
For the reason that they weren't really, they didn't want to look bad. Again, that's what I always say when we have these interpromotional matches. They always go make sure that they don't look bad against the other promotion, and that's why these matches don't really deliver sometimes.
Yeah, maybe they were on different pages, because there were some sloppy moments.
Clearly.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know about all that. I just thought it wasn't a good match. It was a good match, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. It wasn't the great
there
match.
There is much more potential for these two to have a great match.
Yeah. Yeah. Nane's had like match of the year candidates all over the place this year, but for some reason it just didn't work out this time. And the draw, like I said, that's all political. So.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I'm not gonna give anybody heat over it, but yeah, like I said, that was probably the most disappointing match on this card to me.
The best match on the card was the third one. Katsusada Higuchi and Juji Kobayashi beat Go Shiozaki and Yoshiki Inamura in 16 minutes, 38 seconds. And this was the match that made me think about the N1 Climax. Because Higuchi has been in the Global League last year, and I would really love to see him back. A little spoiler for my participant list to come. So this match was great.
And that's the match I shouted that out in the last episode of the free show. Like, that was the match I pointed out. Inamura delivered here. Like, big coming up party for him against these guys, I thought. Mm-hmm. And the other three are always great, especially Go and Okabayashi.
Yeah. Semi-main event, I don't know what you thought about this. Kojima and Otani teaming up against Sekimoto and Kamitani. I thought this was fine.
Yeah, this wasn't that great. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know about that.
You know, the more I see of Kojima this year, the happier I am that he's not in the G1 Climax.
See, I felt the same way. Like, his match with Shingo, I wasn't super hot on. Like, but some people on there are, you know, they're up in arms about it. But I haven't really been impressed by him either, to be honest with you. And I definitely wasn't here. And Sekimoto as well, I think we saw that match with Okabayashi last month.
Mm.
And this one, I haven't really been enamored with him. And he started off the year pretty hot. But I think he's kind of, you know, he's hurting, man.
Yeah,
you know?
They need to let go of him in a singles position for at least some time. Maybe give him a tag team run somewhat.
Yeah, but, you know, him and Okabayashi as a tag team, like, it's still going to be pretty... You're going to get some head to head.
That's true.
Yeah, like I said, I think he should be in the... like, him and Hideki and Abdullah Kobayashi can be the six-man champions. Like, give him some time off for a while. Sekimoto's given...
He needs time off, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and the main event... was another one of these Fortune Dream main events where they just chop each other very hard.
Yes, and so that, it's especially going right in front of Kobashi and chopping each other. Because
you know, it's always the same show. Lots of interpromotional stuff. The Yoshi match ends in a draw. They have a talk battle. In this case, Kobashi against Akira Maeda. More interpromotional stuff, which is always good, but the main event is always a chop fest. You can do that. You can clearly do that, but not on every show. And you could see it from the attendance. I think the attendance was down significantly from the last show they announced. They had about 1,200 fans in attendance. You could see many, many empty orange seats. They need to do something different. I don't know. Maybe they could even just establish a title or whatever and have it defended on their show. I know that is difficult because of all the political stuff going in there, and Kobashi doesn't have a roster, but he has to do something different. Maybe a tag team tournament of sorts, anything that's a little bit different than his usual format.
Yeah, like, it's going to be hard for any kind of any kind of title when it comes to a one show a year promotion, I feel like. But... to me, like you said, a one-night tournament, I think, would be a great way to separate them next year. That sounds perfect to me. You know, something that can last one show, something that can get some guys over. You know, Kobashi could come out and shake his hand and raise them up at the end of the show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great idea. You know, like something that would be very easy to do. You could even have, like, the Joshi match, you know, in between it, like between the semifinals and the main event or whatever. So, I would totally be on board with that. But I agree with you. This show is very much similar to the previous versions of this show. It was a good show. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to hate on it too much. But definitely too similar to previous years. And you're right. I mean, last year had 1,400. This year had 1,200. Mm-hmm. 200 less. So,
yeah.
Kobashi, like this is his style. I wish they'd do something different. Like, there are lots of ways you can honor Kobashi. I feel like it doesn't have to be chops all the time. I feel like it's not like that's the only thing
you
he
can
ever
have a great lariat based match too, like
or moonsault.
Moonsault, yeah. Like the guys in this match, Zeus, he throws a great lariat. Yuji Hino too. He threw great lariats in this match. You don't have to.
Everybody.
In this match, you don't have to have it chop-based all the time.
Yeah, like, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, so I just feel like he has other signature moves, not even just the lariat, like, that you could go through for.
Yeah, but to make it really obvious and easy.
That's true. Yeah, Lariat would be easy. I don't know who's doing a moonsault. Big dog Shuji Ishikawa going up to the
top. Taishi Takasawa is doing a pretty good moonsault.
See, that would be perfect. I want to see Ishikawa try it. Like, Takizawa could do it, yeah. But what about these other ones? Let me see the Zeus salt. Bring it on.
Not very, very sure about that.
No. that you might get angry again. if something like that happens, because we could see a near injury if Zeus tried that. But still, like, you know, it was a fun show, but like you said, nothing that you need to rush out, even though I like the tag match that you mentioned.
No, yeah. The tag match was good.
Yeah.
So, the N1 Victory 2019. It's actually not called the N1 Climax, as we said last year. It's N1 Victory, but obviously it is makes you compare it to the G1 Climax. And if you do, it pales, as I said. And the other point that we made on our last show is they are doing 3 tournaments in a row now, which can kind of wear you out at one point. But
yeah.
I want to talk about this N1 Victory a little bit. The N1 stands for NOAH Number 1 Pro Wrestling League. It starts on August 18. There are 12 dates up until September 16 in the big Osaka Eden Arena, actually. Now that's going to be something for NOAH.
Yeah,
so we're going to see what they are able to get here. And I noted down a list of possible participants. So ever since the Global League 2014, they had 16 participants, and the tour has always had around 12 dates, like this one is going to have. So I guess we can be sure that this tournament will also have 16 participants and not 20 like the G1 Climax. And I noted down a list of possible participants, but I want to let you give your list first, Dylan.
Okay, so these are the guys I feel like I give a highly, highly likely chance that they're in. Okay, we'll see if you agree with me as I run down these names. We'll see if we have some cross-promotion right now on our list. Okay. Marufuji.
Yes.
Sugira.
Yes.
Kiyomiya.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
Nakajima.
Yep.
Okay, we're at 5 right now. Kenno.
Mm-hmm.
Kotage.
Yes.
Kitamiya.
Yep.
Taniguchi.
Yes.
Quiet Storm.
Yes.
Okay, we're at 10 right now. Yone.
Yep.
Saito.
I actually have Saito not on my list.
Yeah, see, I mean, I would prefer somebody else, but I kind of think he'll be
there. I can see that too, yes. As a tribute to him. We have to mention that. Saito, on the Misawa Memorial Show, he was very emotional.
Yeah.
Did we mention that on our show? That recently the information came out that he received a letter from Misawa? Did we mention that? Yeah, we did, I believe.
Well, that might have been on the Hashimoto show.
May have been, yeah. So for everybody here, you may have read it already, but Misawa, he made sure to write a letter because he felt that he would eventually die in the ring. And the letter was given to Akitoshi Saito because he was his final opponent. And in the letter, Misawa said something along the lines of, "Don't worry, it's not your fault, continue wrestling." So
right.
Saito did, and it was a very emotional night for him. You could see that in the interview. So happy for him that he is, apparently he is doing well in NOAH.
Yeah, I'm happy for him too. Like I said, that's good. That's really nice of Misawa, too, to be prepared that much. So really cool stuff there. I know he felt a lot of guilt after all that happened. And it was just an accident. It really wasn't his fault, for the record. Okay, so that's 12 guys we've got, I think, at this point. What about Inamura?
Yeah, I have him on my list. I'm pretty sure he's going to be in.
He should be in, to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so like those 13 are definitely in, like in my opinion. And you said Saito might be out, but I think he'll be in. What about Nagai?
Yeah, Nagai is the one that I have on the bubble. I wouldn't really put him in. I see him as an undercard comedy guy now in Noah and nothing more.
See, I had, like, on my list, I made a little bit of an asterisk to my 16. Because I put either... I feel like if Inamura's in, that guy should be out. But I don't know if they'll have both in. Like, those are, like, my bubble guys on here. I think in my version, they have two spots for outside.
In my version, we have... Well, one is not really an outsider. Kazuma Sakamoto.
Oh, okay. I didn't even list him.
Yeah.
Like I said,
I'm pretty sure he's going to be in, as I said.
Yeah, he's a tag team champ.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much has to be.
Totally. Yeah.
So, with the...
He might have Dragon Gate dates, though, during that tournament. He might not be able to be in.
That's true.
Yeah. He's a bubble guy. Like, we'll list him firmly in bubble camp.
With him included, I have 13 guys, because I don't have Saito listed. And then I have three more spots. And considering who was working Noah recently in recent months and who has been in the tournament last year, the three guys from the outside that I have listed are Katsusada Higuchi, Hideki Suzuki, and Yuji Hino.
Yeah, I like that too. Like I said, Hino and Suzuki were definitely on my radar. Higuchi, I definitely think there's going to be somebody from DDT in. It's just, will they go with Higuchi again or, like, get somebody different? That's
like
really my...
Who else would they get?
Iwasaki.
Yeah.
He was on the Noah tour.
Yeah, like, that's true.
That was my idea. He's somebody I'd love to see in. I'd love to see Higuchi in. Like, I'm not trying to throw shade at Higuchi. My only difference is that I don't know if they'd want to have him or somebody new. That's like the only...
It's not going to be Takeshita, because he would have to lose, and Takeshita doesn't lose.
Yeah, he never loses. that's the thing. But and plus, when is Peter Pan? Is that in the middle of the tour?
I don't know. Would have to check that out.
He might, like, I could see him being in if they promised him a spot in the final. He'd have to. It's the same thing I say about Kento when everybody brings him up for a G1 or whatever. Like, he won't be in unless he's in the finals. And if Peter Pan's in the tour, then forget it. Pretty much, because he has a world title shot. Or even if it's before, because you think he's...
No, he's getting the title match in Ottawa on July 15th.
Yeah. He won't be in the tournament.
Yeah. Peter Pan is usually around the middle of August, and... No?
Nope. It's happening.
No Peter Pan in August. That's weird.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm on the DDT side right now. Let me see. Okay. Maybe a chicken on... We have that on Purilov, maybe? The schedule? Okay. Yeah, they have the big show. Wrestle Peter Pan in the middle of July. Then they have their beer garden shows. And... Oh! They are running Sumo Hall in November. Together with Big Japan.
Right. So that's why when he gets the title shot, it's at Peter Pan, then Takeshita.
No, the title match is scheduled for the Ottawa show.
That's July 15th, right?
Yes.
I'm seeing Peter Pan on July 15th.
Is that Peter Pan?
Check it.
Yeah, Peter Pan. Okay, yeah, but I was confused because Peter Pan is usually in Sumo Hall.
Yeah,
July 14 and July 15 or 14?
15.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Sorry for the confusion, but I'm usually there to do Peter Pan in Sumo Hall, so I was looking for Sumo Hall.
Yeah, see, we slipped the DDT in Big Japan show November. Yeah. That slipped your mind, so no problem. Yeah. My point is, though, that's actually good for the N1, because that opens up the options. It doesn't have to be... No, they could get somebody in from DDT and bring it there, even though, like I said, for the reasons we just said, it won't be Takeshita.
Yeah.
So I think Higuchi would be a great point. Iwasaki, I think, would be a great gig, too. I'm really impressed with that guy, if they put him in there. You know, Hino, great pick. Hideki, everybody knows I love him. So
what about guys like Harashima or Yukio Sakaguchi?
I'd love to see Harashima in there. Like that would be a great pick. And that's somebody who you don't have to put in the finals too.
Mm-hmm.
you know, on there. Sakaguchi, yeah, too. He'd be a good fit. I guess it doesn't matter how big somebody is. Like, he seems like he might be a little small. When Hideki went up against him, he ate him up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Still, like I said, it'd be fine. It's really not that big of a deal. Those guys would be great. Higuchi would be great, too, like I said. So really, any of those guys. I think, regardless, though, someone from DDT will be in this tournament, in my opinion. One of those guys we just said on there. And I think Hideki will be in the tournament. And, like, that would be – like, that would fill up my block if we had two different people. Hino, the only problem is what – like, he might have a 0-1 title or something like that.
Yeah, he might. Hmm.
I'd like it though if he was. He's really good.
Yeah, I would love to see that too. We'll
he was in last. Well, wasn't he in last year?
Not sure.
He's in the tag league. I know that he might have came just after that. Like now that I think about it, he might have came after the global league last year. But still, he's good. Bring him in anyway. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so those are really what we're looking at. These are the guys we're looking at.
Let us look at the tournament last year, the Global League 2018. We had Kaito Kiyomiya, Akitoshi Saito, as we said, he's on the bubble for us. Atsushi Kotoge will be in for sure. Cody Hall is out. Goshi Ozaki, Katsuki Nakajima will be in. Katsutada Higuchi was in last year. We talked about him. We had Kenno. Kohei Sato is another interesting guy. He was in last year.
Yeah.
Maybe someone... Yeah, well, Yuji Hino would be from 0-1. But Hino was not in last year.
Yeah, he came in afterwards.
Then we had Masaki Tamiya, Maibach Taniguchi. They will be in as well. Mitsuya Nagai was in. We have him out. And then Mohamed Yone, Naomi Chimaro Fuji, Quiet Storm, and Takashi Sugiura. They should be all locks for the tournament. Some guys out, some guys in. But overall, this tournament, the N1 victory, it could be a very good tournament. And you pointed that out on our last show, that the quality, the match quality overall, could be very high. And if you have some guys from the outside coming in, if you have three guys from the outside coming in, that makes for a lot of new matchups, as the G1 Climax is doing kind of the same. So...
Yeah. Let me ask you one more guy we didn't mention. Harada. Like, they've been teasing him at Marufuji.
Yes, they teased that. That's true.
Is this the time... Like, he's going heavyweight at some point, but will it be now, or will they wait for him?
I don't know about it. I'm still not sure about Harada in the heavyweight division.
Why? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, to me, not only is he ready, but more importantly, he's done everything he can do.
Yeah, that's true. He's done everything with the juniors, so maybe they will get him in.
I don't know if it'll be now, but he's going, like they're already teasing their stuff about Fuji, and I love their interactions, actually, if you've seen any of them.
Yeah.
It's like the goofiest feud ever. Like, it'll be like somebody's, one of them's posing on the top rope, but then the other one will want to pose on the top rope too. It'd be like, get off my turnbuckle. And then Marufuji
get off
be
my
like,
lawn, kid.
Yeah, and then like Marufuji would be like, man, let me in the Rattels pose. And Harada's like, fuck you, you're not in Rattels. And Marufuji's like, well, fuck you then. it's like the dumbest feud ever.
Oh, it's going to be the middle finger fight again.
It's just, sure, go for it. Like I said, I'm all for that feud, more or less. And to me, Harada would be a great addition. He's somebody that they haven't buried yet, like Kongo. I love him as a worker, and he actually has shown great, pretty strong character work when they've given him a chance with this Rattels bullcrap. Sometimes for the worse when it comes to that stupid Yohei turn that I still hate so much.
Really hard to find someone on the roster that hasn't been buried yet.
Harada, yeah, he'd be a great person. Like I said, I think, and even if it's just to build to one-off title match, I think that would be an incredible match, him versus Kiyomiya.
Sure.
You've
sold me on him. Let's do it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I still don't know if he's in the tournament, but I had him on my list. I think he's somebody that they should get behind, to me. And I think he's got everything it takes to be I don't think he can be like the face of the company or anything, but I think, for a credible, like, upper mid-card main event type person, like, you know, fringe main eventer, I guess, he'd be a perfect candidate. Somebody that could have respect from the fans, has a quiet charisma to him, and plus that can bring, that can break Kotage off from the stupid Kongo, and they can reform their team.
Yeah.
And be the tag team champion.
Yeah, let's do it. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about definitely, but I think that and they should. But I don't know if he'll do it in this tournament because they might, like you said, it may come down to him versus one of the outsiders, and like they'd probably rather have an outsider in that spot. But we'll see how it goes. I think he's worth talking about, though.
Very early pick, Dylan. Who do you think will win the N1 victory?
Well, before that, I just want to say one thing because I posed this question to Twitter about which outsider they would want, and I got a lot of response. So I'm gonna throw a lot of. First of all, the one that got by far the most response, Ashino from Wrestle One.
Oh, that's interesting. Noah and Wrestle One haven't really worked together in recent months, so I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, they really haven't worked together that much. But he would be a better pick because he's probably not going to win the title. It would be Doi or Inaba.
Mm-hmm.
So in their tournament they have going on. But I would love if he came in. I think he's awesome. Nade Takahashi.
Yeah, well, 0-1 has Asuka in. But Noah isn't doing stuff like that.
A little different here. Like, Noah's just... hey, listen, I posed this to him. I told him this. When they had SEM, they had Kana produce some of their shows that was on those shows. Mm-hmm. So Takahashi could totally do that if they bring back the Pink Ring.
She could, of course. She had a great match with Masato Tanaka last year.
Yeah, that's right. That was a strong match. What about this one? T-Hawk.
Yes, I was thinking about him too. Just he'd not great... sure about that, if he has other dates...
Yeah, and plus that throws a whole wrench into like AEW and all of that. We don't know, you know. A lot of these have political problems, I feel like. But the next one was Killer Cross as an outsider. He's a free agent.
Oh, yeah. They might even go to that AAA relationship or maybe to the Impact relationship too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'd be like similar to when Eddie Edwards came in. He'd be probably the most noteworthy choice. Ryota Nakatsu.
I don't know. He's great.
Yeah.
But on that stage, not sure.
Yeah, that would be a big step up.
Yeah.
Somebody said Kudo from DDT.
No.
That would be random. Yeah. Koji Doi. He might win. If he doesn't win the title, he'd be the same boat as Ashino,
mm-hmm.
I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Dickinson was another
answer. That's someone from left field, but that would be great. This guy, Chris Dickinson really has grown on me over the last couple of months. So why not? Why not throw someone in like that? That is really unexpected.
Hey, listen, All Japan hit money with Nobi Bryant. You know, look for likely places, Noah.
Last year, Noah had Brian Cage in for a tour, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrestled.
Sometimes they throw someone in from left field that you don't really expect.
Yeah, he was at Impact, too, I think, at that time. So they could get somebody from Impact, too. Like, that would be a fine pick. What about Yoshida from 2AW? But they're working with All Japan.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I don't see him.
Yeah. Takeshita, we already talked about him. Shima, like similar to T-Hawk, I feel like same feelings.
Yeah, Shima is not losing, so no.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. But yeah, see, so a lot of different names there. If Wrestle One and Noah can work together more, I think that would be really cool. But there's just been no signs of it. And also, Wrestle One's kind of in like they're in a turbulent situation now with Jiro and Sako going out, leaving the company. So. I don't know what's going on with Wrestle One right now, more than anything.
What about Jiro?
He'd be an interesting person. He'd be a very different person that, compared to a lot of the roster. That would, he left to go to different places, so why wouldn't this be he could pop? We didn't even talk about him. He should have been somebody we thought of right away, I feel like. That's a bad job on my part. Especially, but yeah, he's someone that could be a very likely pickup for them if they wanted somebody who was freelance, that had no commitments anywhere else. If he wanted to do it, I'm not a huge fan of his, but he does have a fan base. Like, there's no denying he has an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And if they bring somebody like that in, I would have no problem with that at all, personally.
Would there be anyone else from AAA?
Oh, AAA? See, now, heavyweight-wise, it's a little tougher than a junior heavyweight division. If they didn't bring any juniors, I can't really see them doing it. And AAA, or Triple Mania, I think, I know it's at the end of August. I don't know if it's... When does the tour end for N1?
September 16th.
Yeah, then there won't be anybody from AAA. Like, Triple Mania is going on, and they're going to have everybody in that stupid Copa Triple Mania, probably. Oh, okay. And things change so much in AAA. I can't see them sending anybody over, but they could have somebody like Rey Scorpion would be the best heavyweight.
Yeah, and remember, like, a couple of years ago, they also got Alejandro Saez in. Like, nobody expected him to be there.
Yeah. Man, I miss him. He was a great worker. Like, yeah. XL, he was in there. He had a long history with Noah, too, before that. His promotion I used to watch. They had guys like Kaiser there, too, from Chile. So, yeah, like, I'd love if they could bring them in. I wonder how good those relationships are now, because Kenta left and there's been so many ownership changes. But if they could get somebody like that in, I'd love to see that, somebody that isn't even from, let alone a place we would even think of, like, let alone a promotion. It would be a different country. So,
yeah. So, as you mentioned, the owner, I want to quickly mention that I'm really happy that they have been able to get the arc on a smooth sailing voyage now. It's not in deep waters anymore. It seems like this Lilith ownership has really benefited Noah well. So that's good for Noah.
Yeah, like I said, and plus it felt like we were wondering, we were looking at them with skeptical eyes, I think, when they changed the logo, changed the mat. But so far, so good, I feel like, in the run. I think Kiyomiya's really had a lot to do with that more than anything. But I really like what they're bringing to the table right now. And we'll see how it goes in the future. I actually thought Uchida was a good owner, too, for Noah when he was around. So I like what they're doing overall. And I do have to – I kind of dodged this earlier because I got trailed off on Twitter. But about the N1, very early prediction on who would win, to me – see, this is something – whoever they bring in, I think, does have a shot to win this tournament. To be honest with you, like, from the outside.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't count them out, whoever they bring in. But because you look at their roster, exactly what I said earlier, my point earlier, they really haven't built anybody up that's than Kiyomiya. So to me, the favorite, we don't know who's in yet. If they do announce somebody like that, I might look their way. But of the names of Noah, I would have to say it would be Nakajima. That would be the favorite of
I would also go in the Axis direction. They recently dropped the tag team title to Sugiura and Kazuma.
Yep.
So both Axis guys would be those front runners.
Yeah. Go would probably be my number two. He just beat Marufuji. It would be a great time for him.
And I actually see Go in a little bit in front of Nakajima.
I can see that.
The impression that he left with me on this Misawa Memorial Show was so good. He was in this great fighting spirit mood that we want to see from him. And I really believe that there is a singles run left in him. I can also see him becoming champion again. Them trying it again with him. And for now, I can see Go being a good rival for Kiyomiya. He's not a generational rival, but the generation before that. And so I can see them trying that again.
The thing with Go is, to me, he's never... Like, he's always left good impressions with me. I've always thought highly of him.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
Me. The problem is the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, in Japan, they never take to him. I wouldn't mind that from a work rate perspective. But I just don't know. Like, I'm always wary of Go. That's kind of where I was going.
Yeah, I can completely understand that.
To be honest, I'm wary of Nakajima, too. But he's had a significant character change that I think would be... Mm. That's really what picked him over Go.
Yeah.
I think that's really the main difference. But in terms of worker, like, in-ring, like, Go is awesome. Like, I think he's an absolutely super underrated... one of the most talented people in Japan in terms of wrestling, but the fans have just never taken to him for one reason or another. I wouldn't hate it, though. Like, it's not like I would say, oh, this is a horrible decision. I think it could be worth trying, But if things go way down quickly, that would be the rare instance where I would say you have to move on quick from that. And I don't think he's the right person to take it from Kiyomiya, to be honest with you. Not another kid. I think whoever takes it from him, there should be a plan in place, whether it is an outsider champion or a younger guy that can be a real rival to Kiyomiya. Because I just don't think Go can be that. Or even Nakajima, to be honest. But somebody has to win this tournament.
Yeah, but who is there as a younger guy? Kotage, for example.
No, Kenno and Kotage, they kind of tried with that, takes him down. Okay. I'm a fan of his. He's honestly like one of my favorite wrestlers.
Mm.
You know, he just hasn't been built up like that at all. None of those guys have. They haven't built up any of them. So it would have to be one of Go or Nakajima, pretty much, based on this. Or Marufuji, again.
No.
Yeah. Marufuji Sugera right there.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, the winner of...
That's why I said the outsider might win. Because there's nobody that's younger. If it was Takeshita, I think that would be a pretty interesting decision if they can do that. But I think you already have the title by then. That's what knocks him out.
So, looking at the schedule, Dylan, this tournament ends on September 16. And the only dates we have for after that are on October 3 and October 20 in Currican Hall, and then November 2nd in Sumo Hall. So my guess would be that the winner of this N1 victory is getting his title shot in Sumo Hall.
I love the idea that they have a big show, the biggest show of the year, more or less.
And they have been advertising the show in Tokyo on buses.
I thought it was so brave of them to run Sumo Hall. These owners, you can't deny that they have a lot of heart, and they must believe in this promotion to do that.
Mm.
Because when that got announced, literally everybody took a huge dump on it on Twitter. They're like, "No, this is a terrible idea. It's never going to be successful." Their Korakuen Halls has been strong these past two months, but that's such a large leap, to Sumo Hall. But they're going to need a lot of stuff in there. I don't know what they've got planned for that, but no matter who it is, there has to be some big matches on that show. And I'm not sure what kind of plan they have in place, but I totally agree with you. Whoever wins the N1, definitely getting a title shot there. And I think that's the perfect way to do it. I love the idea of the big show where the winner of the tournament gets the title shot. I just thought it was a little big to go there to make that jump. They should have maybe downsized it a little bit, I feel like.
Like Ota Watt?
Yeah, that would have been fine. How many seats are in there?
3,000 to 4,000, something like that.
Yeah. To me, even 5,000 would be reasonable.
Mm.
But Sumo
Hall? Well, you can downsize Sumo Hall to the bit where you don't sell tickets for the upper tiers, and then you have a 5,000 seat building.
Maybe they'll do that.
Yeah. Depends on the setup.
Do we know? Yeah. See, now that would make a lot more sense then, if that happened, but I still thought it was brave of them to run an adventure.
For sure. Especially in comparison to other promotions that run there. But also, DDT doesn't really draw more than 6,000 for their Sumo Hall shows, and they always claim a near sold-out house for that.
I like that they have the idea of being the true number two. I think their heart and their head is in the right place, or at least their heart is, but they're not taking everything to account. But Kiyomiya is a great champion, as I said, and if there is somebody that can bring them up in between now and November, I can't bet against them, with the champion. I don't want to completely discount this as much as everybody else did, especially because it'll make me look smarter if it ends up being successful at the end. But, yeah, just real brave stuff on Nova's end to do that.
Yes, so I guess that's it for Pro Wrestling Noah 2. Check out their YouTube channel. They sometimes upload some matches that will not be shown on television. They uploaded some from the Global Junior Tag League. There it's youtube.com/GHCNoah. So give them a follow there. They have
Can I just something
good
real
stuff.
Quick.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. that was one of their best decisions that the new ownership made, was utilizing the YouTube page. That's something a lot of other companies don't really do. Like, they're so focused on their streaming services, obviously. But Noah, who really can't be in that position right now because of all sorts of legal entanglements they're in, utilizing YouTube was an absolutely great decision. And I think that might be an underrated reason why these past couple of months have done better, because that was right around the time they started showing their shows on YouTube. I wouldn't be surprised if that had more of an effect than people give credit for.
Yeah. Great point, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so give them a YouTube follow there. They deserve it, definitely. And they have 30,000 followers right now on YouTube, so that's good, too.
Cool.
Yep. Yep. So Pro Wrestling Noah is doing well, and we hope that they will continue to do well. Kind of excited now for the N1 Climax, now that we have fantasy booked it. And I'm sure that the owners will deliver a good field for the tournament.
Yeah, like I said, I've really liked what they've been doing this whole year, really. I think they've been a really good promotion that's kind of unfortunately flown under the radar. But I think now they're starting to get a little better, and I think this N1 victory will get it going. I still don't like the name. I'm not going to lie to you. I still don't like the name, but still I think it'll be a good tournament. Like I said last week, I think when you look at the talent field, it's going to be some good stuff there, and very good for a 16-man field. Love what they're doing right now in Noah. Wish they had the green match back still, though. But besides that, I love everything.
It's a different company, Dylan.
Yeah, kind of. But it's still Noah, and I still want the green match there. And give me the turtle dove on the logo. Bring them all back. But besides that, everything's going good. And yeah, I totally agree with you.
Alrighty. So, this has been the Eastern Lariat for this week. Hope we got you excited on 0-1. A little bit on All Japan, although that was a little downer on that show. And hope we got you excited on Pro Wrestling Noah. So thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.